Morning. I have to say I'm thrilled to see all of our visitors this morning. We just really appreciate you being here and worshiping with us. Earlier this spring, I was asked to give a lesson for the Murray Road Memorial Weekend meeting entitled Learning to Rely on God. I spent a lot of hours preparing that, and so I don't intend to waste it. I'm going to give it again. But I notice now that some of you are here from Murray Road, so you're going to have to listen again. And I've asked a few. Theta said it was okay. And Dixie probably doesn't care. I have a few others that heard this lesson. Learning to rely on God. Chris asked me this morning if I had a special chapter to read, and I said, no, pick your own. I said, you go ahead and use your own. And he did. James chapter 1 and verse 2. It couldn't have been a better chapter, Chris. I can always see the Lord's providence, I think, in this, a lot of times, of songs and scriptures that fit together with lessons. Verse 2 and 3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You know, in the course of one's Christian life, certain events will occur that profoundly change our lives for the better or the worse, depending upon our reactions. And you know, as firstborn sons of God, and I'm speaking when I say sons of men and women alike, we know in our hearts how important it is to have faith in God. And in good times, it's relatively easy to trust in the Lord. However, when tragedy or trials come our way, the strength of our faith can be severely tested. And we can even feel that God's not listening to our prayers. But like most people, most of you, I think, probably would agree, could say the same thing. I've been there. I've done that. However, I'm thankful to say that my life has been blessed because of those difficulties. Now, the essence of the lesson this morning is going to be based on several words, as it usually is. And of course, the first and foremost word is God, whom we can know by the second word, faith, which allows us to develop the third word, trust. Faith and trust are linchpins of our spiritual connection with God. By them, we can know and experience God, and eventually, we can see God. Now, I want you to this morning to write down five words on the doorpost of your heart. God, faith, trust, knowing, and seeing. Because these five words, I believe, are key for enduring our Christian life, including today's lesson on learning to rely on God. You know, I'm convinced that the true test and discipline of faith and trust in God occurs in the most difficult times in our lives. So therefore, the question to be considered today is, how can we learn to rely on God in our most difficult times? Now, there's three more words that I want to be talking, we'll be talking about and considering in this lesson. The first one is the word rely. Rely means to depend confidently in, to put trust in. And in regard to God, reliance requires faith. The second word is depend. And you know, this the word depend is from an old French word which means to hang down or be suspended. In other words, to be attached to. And the third word is lean, L-E-A-N. To lean is to incline on for support. And I found it interesting, this is a derivative of a root word meaning bending toward. So when I talk about relying on God, I mean being attached to Him by faith and actually bending toward Him, trusting in His support for our lives. The record says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and also in verses 11 and 12, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a son in whom He delights." And as I said before, I believe the difficult times in the lives of God's children are opportunities for development and discipline of our faith and trust in God, allowing us to know His never-failing love, and finally to see in our hearts His determined purpose for our lives. So in this lesson, I'm going to be sharing with you a few earthly experiences, the first of which is divinely recorded in the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm sure you remember the most difficult times in Job's life. However, I don't want to focus necessarily on those difficult times. I want to focus on Job's enlightened attitude. We go to the very last chapter of Job, chapter 42, and we look at verses 1 through 6. This was immediately after Job had considered God's, I think, 84 questions that he asked Job. Job answered the Lord and said, and this is, I'm going to kind of paraphrase and give my interpretation of what he was saying, and I'll include some other verses in Job too as we go along. But Job said, "God, yes, I admit, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be changed or stopped. But in my misery and self-pity, I spoke vainly, saying, 'Though you slay me, yet will I trust you.' However, I know I was bent on proving my own ways before you." That's from Job 13, verse 15. Then Job continued in chapter 42 by saying to God, he said, "You know, I've said things that I didn't really understand. And I failed to understand and to consider properly your purpose for my life." And then in humility, Job said, "I must confess to you, Lord, I've heard your words, and I thought I knew you." But then he said in Job, the 23rd chapter, verses 8 through 9, he said, "Look, I go forward, but God is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. When He works on the left hand, I cannot behold Him. When He turns to the right hand, I cannot see Him. But God knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Finally, Job is beginning to put it all together. You know, I believe that even though Job was a just man, he was unable to perceive the spiritual purpose of God in his life. And then, as the lesson of Job draws to a close, he said, "But now my eye sees you." I think that's in verse 5, Job 42, verse 5. "But now my eye sees you." In other words, he's saying, "Now my spiritual apprehension of you is clear and bright in the eye of my mind. And by understanding you more clearly, I now see myself more clearly for what I am and what you want me to be." Job, after learning to rely on God, humbly confessed by saying, he said, I'm totally disgusted with myself, and I repent and ask your forgiveness." And yes, God forgave Job, blessed Job with twice as much as he had before. You know, I believe that we can learn a lot by sharing personal times of difficulty, as we do when we study the book of Job. But I think we can, today, we have experiences that we can share. Just let me share with you a difficult time in my life. And that's in regard to the illness and the passing of my first wife, Charla Kay, which most of you know, or knew. Some of you maybe didn't know of her episode with the dreaded C word, as she called it, cancer. But this story will be brief because I'm going to be turning to the Scriptures to consider three keys of learning to rely on God that I observed in this experience with Kay and with my study of the Word of God. You know, I know about the shock and trauma when the doctor utters those dreaded words, "Your test indicates you have cancer cells in the upper stomach area." This happened in August 1997. But you know, the full impact of that medical doctor's words can only be expressed by the one who was so diagnosed with it. I can't really express that shock and trauma. So I want to share Kay's own story, which she wrote and published, and Tom Woody published it in the Gospel Message in January of 1999. And this article is entitled, she entitled it, "The C Words." And I begin, quote, this is a fairly long quote, but bear with me. "In the course of life, events occur which may change us dramatically. As a result of these events, we are never the same. This article is written to share with others such an event and to encourage those who are facing physical trials. Dateline, August 1997. We had just returned from the Eminence Church campout, where we enjoyed a wonderful week of lessons and fellowship. Life was good. We were waiting to move into a new house. I had retired from my business with plenty of time to enjoy the grandchildren. The phone rang at approximately 7 p.m. on the evening of the 12th. It was my doctor, informing me cancer cells were found in a biopsy taken earlier in the week. I was in shock. It was unimaginable. I didn't feel sick. After a thorough workup at MD Anderson Cancer Center, I was diagnosed with cancer of the upper stomach, lower esophagus, two lymph nodes near the upper stomach, and 12 pinpoints on my diaphragm. Stage 4 cancer. I cannot recall clearly the events of late August and early September. Time became a blur. I could not bring myself to speak the C word, hear it on television, or discuss it with others. I did not want to take phone calls and would avoid visiting with others whenever possible. At night, I slept very little but lay in my recliner, imagining the disease gnawing inside of my body like a ravenous beast. The C word was like a broken record playing over and over in my mind. I didn't know how I could face life, knowing what was in store for me. My family provided me with relaxation tapes, recordings of river sounds, smooth and soothing music, hoping I would relax and begin to sleep. Then one day, I remembered a set of Bible recordings given to us several years ago. So I began listening to the words of God at night and often during the day. Then a most wonderful thing began to occur in my life. One C word was replaced by another C word. Christ began to replace the cancer. Every time I thought about the cancer within my body, I went to the recordings and I listened intently to every word Jesus and His apostles spoke to me. Wonderful changes began to take place in my life. A tremendous joy began to fill my heart. I was actually happy. And I had cancer. I began to pray in the Spirit more often and more fervently. Often feeling stressed as I began to pray, I soon would feel a calming peace wash over my soul as my prayer continued. And I was not alone in my prayers. My family and the entire brotherhood were praying for me. I began to realize the awesome power in God's Word and in prayer. I learned to appreciate the wonderful significance of God's family here on earth. The Scripture tells me Christ died so I could live. By facing death, I learned how to live. When you face death, your priorities are quickly realigned: God, family, and others. When you face death, it doesn't matter how far up the corporate ladder you have climbed, how many material possessions you have amassed, your status among men, or how skilled a sportsman you are. In death, it will be only you and God and what you have done for Him. End of quote. So you see, I was truly blessed to be able to walk side by side for over 2 years with one who learned to rely on God as she walked the pathway of affliction triumphantly by daily reliance upon the Word of God, prayer, and sharing God with others. In the course of my life, this event made a profound positive impact on my spiritual attitude and demeanor. Over the past 15 years, I've made it a purpose in life to continue steadfastly in God's Word and in prayer, learning this important lesson so I can teach others to learn to rely on God in whatever situation of life that comes along that's very difficult. Toward this end, I edited and published a booklet of Kay's selected verses and comments entitled Upon the Wings of the Wind, of which about almost 1,000 copies have been handed out to those going through difficult times in life. And I have a few of those books with me today back on the little desk in the vestibule. And if you don't have a copy, or you know if you need an extra copy for a friend that's having difficult times, they're free for the taking. Help yourself to them. I know that most of you have experienced similar episodes with diseases or tragedies, either personal affliction or involving someone close to you. But I wish really that we could share all of your stories, which I'm sure would provide a much broader perspective on learning to rely on God. But I don't know about you, but over the past several years, I've been learning to rely on God from our good brother, Tom Woody, who was mentioned this morning in a prayer, who has cancer. What an awesome sermon he is as he triumphantly walks with God in his difficult times of life. And I hope you're paying attention to the words that he writes and speaks. That is, in the March article in the Gospel Message, he wrote a short article entitled, Eternal Life is Like a Delicious Piece of Cake. And I asked Tom about using this, and he said, that's fine to him. So I'm going to recite some of his quotes. He said, we like to pray for trials to go away, but that is like asking for the oven to be turned off before the cake is done. If we are being tested, it's because we are not done yet. I really like that comparison with the proper cooking of a good cake. Then Brother Tom continued and reminded us, and he said, this is a great plan that God has ordained. And when it's all over, this time in the oven that can seem unbearable at times will seem like nothing when we experience the glory that will be revealed in us. End of quote. Thank you, Brother Tom, for your words of wisdom. And I hope we can hear more maybe this week at the Bible study campout. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to make it. He's in a lot of pain now. But if he can, he will. Just pay attention to what he says. So how does all of this help us learn to rely on God in our most difficult times of life? As I said, I believe there are three important keys considered by David as he learned to rely on God. And those keys fit very well with the keys that I mentioned about Kay, what she learned. But you know, in the 73rd Psalm, in verse 21 and following, David, with a grieved heart and a vexed mind, he asked God a great rhetorical question. He said, whom have I in heaven but you? And then, I think after reflecting on this question, he followed with this thought. He said, well, come to think about it, really, there is none on earth that I desire besides you. not only in heaven but upon earth. Why, he said, even when my body and mind fail me, I know, God, it is you that strengthens my heart and brings happiness. And finally, David summarizes the keys, the three keys for dealing with our most difficult times in Psalms 73, verse 28. And in that verse, he said, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. So just notice three important keys in this verse about learning to rely on God in difficult times. Number one, drawing near to God by meditating on His Word. Number two, by trusting in God with all our heart in prayer and practice. And number three, by witnessing and sharing the works of God in our conversation with all people. Now let's take a brief look at key number one. Draw near to God by meditating on His Word. You know, there are many scriptures that attest to the fact that the psalmist David, his most comforting experience was his deep assurance of the presence of God in his life. And this was based primarily on his practice of prayer and daily meditation on the words of the Lord. So I want to ask David a few questions this morning that may help us to learn the secrets of relying on God in our difficult times of life. David, based on your experience, how can a person be assured of the presence of God in their life? And here's David's answer we find in Psalms 145 and verse 18. And he says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. That is, to all who call upon Him in truth. Well, thank you, David, but how can I know the truth? Psalms 119, 160. The entirety of God's Word is truth, and every one of His righteous judgments endures forever. So, David, you're saying we need to be reading and meditating on the words of God. Yes. Read Psalms 119, 148. He said, my eyes keep guard in the nighttime hours as I meditate on God's Word and promises. Well, this is very helpful, David, but one final question. When you experienced difficulty in your life, how were you able to cope with them? Well, that's easy. Psalms 119, verse 49 and 50. I remember God's Word to me, His servant, upon which He has caused me to hope. And this is my comfort in my affliction, that God's Word has revived me. You know, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can find answers for all of our problems in God's holy Word if we will just look and search and meditate? Now I understand how Kay's life was changed. She put those very words that David spoke in her heart. And in fact, you will find them in bold and underlined words in her book of selected scriptures. God was near her. He was ready to hear her cry. He was at hand to comfort her from the mental ravages of her illness. And you know what? God will do the same for you and me. As He has helped David and Kay and is now helping Brother Tom, if we will draw near to Him and fill our hearts with His Word and share it with others. I can't tell you how many cards that Kay received, but then I can't tell you how many cards she sent out also. Because she had a whole list of people that were ill and in the same situation she was in, and she would weekly or quite frequently send them cards or even talk to them on the phone. And that was in the last year of her illness. But I want you to listen to the lesson in Mrs. C.H. Morris's song, Nearer, Still Nearer, Close to Thy Heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious Thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me, close to Thy breast. shelter me safe in that haven of rest. You know, the third line of that verse to me is a very comforting lesson. You know, that word fold, back when she wrote this 100 years ago, fold meant to embrace with your arms. And the term breast was a symbol of nurture, that is, giving that which is needed for life. So you see, it's so very important to stay near to the Lord so He can embrace us and nurture and admonish us by His Word as we go through the difficult times in our lives. Key number 2, trust in God with all your heart in prayer and practice. Now, keys 2 and 3 are relatively easy if we understand and practice key number 1, that is, drawing near to God and filling our hearts with His Word. But you know, with an intimate knowledge of God, how can we not trust Him with all our heart? Remember Proverbs 3 and 5? It said, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." You know, it's very difficult to put aside your mental anguish and bear your physical pain on your own. However, if we're a Christian, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4, verse 13. Key 3, witness the works of God in our conversation with all people. So, as we give ourselves over to a complete trust to the Lord, our primary goal in life will be to communicate the gospel of God's goodness and trustworthiness to all those in need. Like David, we will sing a new song to the Lord. We'll sing to the Lord and praise His name. We'll tell the good news every day about how He saves us. We'll tell all the nations how wonderful He is. And we'll tell people everywhere about the amazing things He does. Psalms 96, verses 1 through 3. So you know, by following these 3 keys of learning to rely on God, it's amazing how most earthly things become, in the words of Kay, that's about a zero. That's about a zero. In closing, you know, I've heard it said, difficult roads often lead to delightful destinations. Sometimes we wonder. But then, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand, but we just have to turn to the Bible and consider. I wonder about Stephen sometime. How did Stephen accept his horrible death by stoning? We have an answer to it. It was because he could see the glory of God in heaven. Acts 7:55, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." We need to learn to not only know God, but we need to see God through the eyes of our heart and mind. Learning to rely on God is all about leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. I want you to think seriously about this. How can you rely upon leaning on someone for support unless you're very near to them? So, brothers and sisters, we all need to be learning to lean on Jesus. When sad, brokenhearted, so often I've knelt, I've found God's peace so serene, and all that He asks is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning to lean on Jesus because there's glorious victory each day now for me, and I've found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now I'm learning to lean. You know, in difficult times, we can only lean on Jesus if we draw near to Him in obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. The record says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus? If not, may I suggest that the way of the cross leads home through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism with a new life in Jesus, wherein He will be your strength and stay, and He will guide you all the way. So why not accept Him today and start learning to rely on Him for a peaceful passage through the dark and difficult times of life? May God bless you in all your trials of life as you faithfully follow His word, leading to a triumphant entrance into the glory, the eternal glories of heaven. And finally, remember the words of Paul in Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Won't you please respond as we stand and sing?